Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, and welcome to Who's Talking. This is not Frank Maloney tonight. This is Jim Hobgood. Frank is not going to be in tonight. He's a little under the weather, so Chris Sill is in the house to help out. But at any rate, welcome to Who's Talking tonight. A lot going on over in Charlottesville. Basketball now. We've kind of, although a lot of football news also these days, Chris, with the staff developments. But on tonight's show, we will have a former Cavalier and a friend of mine and current TV analyst Dan Bonner. Dan will talk a little bit about the Wahoo basketball team as well as the ACC and also college basketball on the national scene. And then tonight in the second half hour, we will have the veteran reporter, writer for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, Jerry Ratcliffe, also a good friend over the years. So we'll bring him in, maybe check with him relative to what he's heard from the standpoint of the football staff and the changes therein. And maybe
he's heard something good.
Yeah, well, maybe he can help us understand why the changes were made and some of the names that are being talked about relative to replacing those that were let go. But at any rate, we're glad you have joined us tonight, as always. And right now, Chris is going to tell you how to follow the show.
Yeah, guys, go ahead, call in to Sports Radio 910. It's 804-345-0910. We're also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. So go ahead, post comments, call in, ask questions. I'm sure Jerry will have some answers that we can provide in the second half hour about the coaches. You can also check us on Facebook, search Who's Talking, and become a fan.
Well, the basketball team, what I would call a very quiet seven-game win streak. You know, when you start 1-2, 8-2 looks pretty good this past week. An important win over Tennessee, and then the win over Mississippi Valley State. So I think we have our first guest on the line. Let me give him an introduction. I've already called him a friend of Hobbo, a teammate, a captain of the Cavaliers back in his day. Also, and some people may not know this, he was also the head coach for the UVA women for two seasons back in the 1970s, and then he switched over to the media side of the equation, did radio and got into TV and has done television for. Dan, are you with us?
I am. The answer is 140 years.
I was going to say, you got to be pushing a number of years, but at any rate, it just shows how good you are that you've had that kind of longevity, but one of the better people to actually break down the game if you really want to know the technical aspects of the game and what's going on. But at any rate, Dan Bonner is with us. Dan, thanks for taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight.
Well, it's always nice to be invited, Jim.
Well, I thought we'd sort of start with the ACC, and since the show is called Who's Talking, we would start with Virginia. Your
assessment. Like a heck of a plan.
That's it. Your assessment. Have you seen Virginia play either in person or on TV?
Seen them on tape, Jim. I obviously this time of the year, as I'm getting ready to do a number of games, I'm watching an awful lot of team on tape, and I've had the opportunity to see Virginia a little bit. My first Virginia game is December the 30th, and so I've got about five games before then. So they're on the radar, but they're at the furthest reach of the coverage at the moment. So yeah, I've seen a little bit of them.
Well, as I just mentioned to Chris Sill, is in, he's our analyst or research analyst. Frank is not in tonight because he's a little under the weather, but I mentioned to him, Virginia on a what I would call a very quiet seven-game winning streak at the moment. You know, they play. I went over to see Tennessee the other day. They really defend. They're after your heart, I think. You like the defensive end. I didn't necessarily do so well on the defensive end, but man, they have trouble scoring at times. I mentioned to somebody in that Tennessee game, they had two made field goals in the last 11 and a half minutes of the game, and yet they still won the game.
Jim, when you hold the other team to 38 points, you're going to win the game. It's like the legendary high school coach over this way, Paul Hatcher, once told me. He said, you know, if you hold the other team to 40 points, you only have to score 41 to win. And my response was, well, yeah, but if you get 90, they got to get 91. But he didn't quite see it that way, and I think Tony Bennett would fall more in the Paul Hatcher mode than me.
Well, they're nevertheless, seven-game winning streak is a seven-game winning streak, and, of course, the Cavs now breaking for exams and don't play again until December 19th against Morgan State. But, anyway, let's move on from that. How about the ACC? I guess Duke is the team that has looked the most impressive thus far. Your assessment of the Duke team?
Jim, it's been a very interesting season so far for Duke, and I think if you pay attention to college basketball at this time of the year, teams like Duke, teams of that category, they're playing games that aren't really very challenging. And most of the top teams have not really been challenged except once or twice. But you have to say that Duke is not among those. Duke has basically played everybody you can possibly play at this point, and they have emerged victorious in all of those games. And they've been very impressive. I think that they've shown that they've got a very nice combination of youth and experience. The only question that I have about Duke is their depth. I think an injury, a key injury, say, to a Mason Plumlee or to somebody like a freshman Rashid Suleiman or anybody that they have who's a key contributor, I think could really set them back. And the other thing, they're playing so well right at the moment, and you've been around long enough to know this, are they going to improve as the season goes on, or are they as good right now as they're going to be all year? And that's one of the things, to get back to Virginia, that Virginia, they've struggled a little bit early. They've put together this seven-game winning streak, but particularly with their guys being hurt, with Jontel Evans being out, coming back, and then being out again, and Tevin Jones not being available for the first couple of games, and basically everybody on the team trying to settle into a new role. This is a Virginia team that I think will be much better by the end of the year than they are now. And that doesn't mean they'll be as good as Duke by the end of the year. But as I look at the Duke Blue Devils, the question I have is, are they going to be able to improve? Because any team that expects to challenge for a conference title or for a national championship has to get better as the season goes on, no matter how good they are at the start.
I think, back to Virginia for a moment, Tevin Jones, having watched the game the other night, he is going to be an important contributor to that team. But in my opinion, I think they need a healthy Jontel Evans to really have the kind of year a lot of fans would like to see. So hopefully this exam break, you know, I don't know if that'll do the trick. If need be, they could certainly hold him out a little longer, but hopefully he'll be back 100% by the time January comes around. But, you know, back to some of the other teams in the league, I guess NC State was the preseason pick. They've lost a couple of games. Any viewpoint or assessment on the Wolfpack so far?
Jim, I thought that it was fair to rate NC State as the top team based on their performance in last year's NCAA tournament. But at the same time, I told people, now wait a minute, this is the same NC State team that lost 7 of 9 games in January and February last year. Yes, they got on a great run to the NCAA tournament, but which team are we going to see, particularly early in the season, the one that was on the run in the NCAA tournament or the one that lost 7 of 9 games in late January and early February? And I think what you see is this is an NC State team. They have so many guys returning, all expecting to fill certain roles, and then you have an influx of very talented newcomers who also have some expectations. And I think it's a challenge from a coaching standpoint to piece that together. But that's what November and December are for, is to piece things together and not get upset if you don't perform maybe as well as people thought you might in November and December. That's the time to put things together. And I think that North Carolina State still has very good talent, and I think they will be right there in the conference race at the end, even though they have lost a couple of games. I think they're still in the top 25, but they probably have been a little disappointing, particularly to some, I don't know, very hard analysts like Wolfpack fans at this point.
Let's move down the road a couple of miles to Chapel Hill. What about the North Carolina Tar Heels, your assessment of them?
Clearly a talented team, but not a team with the explosiveness and firepower that they have had in the last few years. And I think that this is a North Carolina team that will be very good, but I think it's a North Carolina team that is going to have to maybe get it done a little bit different way than they have before. They're going to have to play better defense. They're going to have to rebound the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to play at warp speed the way they have in the past because they just don't have the skilled people to do that. Still a very good team. A lot of high school All-Americans on that team, and I don't think it's a team you should write off. But I would really be surprised if this North Carolina team challenged Duke and North Carolina State for the conference championship.
We're not going to go through all of them. By the way, we're visiting with TV analyst, former Cavalier, and good friend of mine, Dan Bonner. Not going to go through the whole league, but a couple of teams that maybe have been early season surprises. Get your assessment, Virginia Tech and Maryland.
Jim, to start with Maryland, I have actually seen them. I've done a Maryland game, and I was extremely impressed with Maryland. I think that they ought to be kicking themselves that they lost that Kentucky game because they are better at this point of the year than Kentucky. And other than that Kentucky game, they just simply haven't played a very difficult schedule. But they're a team that I think they're going to be very good by the end of the season. I think in Alex Lana, 7'1" guy, who can move and play inside and maybe even move outside a little bit, but it's his inside ability that really impresses me. There are very few people in college basketball, his size and his skill level, who can do the things that he can do with his back to the basket. And I think Maryland is going to be a very, very good team. And the biggest surprise in my mind has been Virginia Tech. Their leader, of course, has been Eric Green. He's one of the top point guards in the country. I think he sold everybody on that idea now. But I think that as the season goes on and people really start to try, particularly in conference play, when people know what you're trying to do, when folks take Eric Green away, the question in my mind is, are those other guys going to be able to handle enough of the load that Virginia Tech can be successful? They're better than I thought they would be, but I'll be really interested to see how they play once conference season starts.
All right, let me get your Coach Bonner hat on here.
Okay,
since I know you're
right.
A coach, you said to take Eric Green away. How do you do that?
Well, I think that he's a guy that you have to understand, is he going to drive the ball to the basket or is he going to shoot threes? And I think that you play him, if I'm playing Eric Green, I try to maybe take away all his assists. The way people used to play against, Bill Russell used to say when he played Wilt Chamberlain, didn't worry so much about Wilt Chamberlain scoring, he tried to take away Wilt Chamberlain's assists. And so he felt like that would disrupt the game. And I just think you have to pick something with Eric Green, his ability to drive to the basket, his ability to shoot the three, take something away so that you disrupt his game a little bit. And I think you'll see teams do that.
You know, the next time you run into Barry Parkhill, tell him that's what teams did against me. They took away my assists. You know, that's the reason
they didn't have to work very hard to do that.
That's the reason I had so few.
Yeah, but they didn't have to work very hard to do that.
You know, if you're willing, we're going to keep you through the break. One question back to Virginia, and again, an area that you might be familiar with. You probably haven't seen them, but the Virginia women's team. Maybe I should ask your wife this question, but your assessment of Joanne Boyle and the women's program at Virginia right now?
Well, I think, you know, Joanne Boyle has done, based on what I've read, and I haven't seen him, but I try to follow him a little bit. I think that she has applied the energy and the enthusiasm that people were looking for. And I think that she's going to need some time to get the program back to where it was. But I certainly don't think that anybody should be disappointed in what they've seen from the women's team under Joanne Boyle. I give her a little time, and it'll be very interesting. I mean, the Atlantic Coast Conference in women's basketball, I think, is probably, over the last few years anyhow, has been top to bottom more difficult than in men's basketball. So, you know, I think that it's not as easy a job as people might think it is.
All right, I think we may go to a break here early since it's a time to. We're visiting with Dan Bonner. We're going to hold him through the break. And, Dan, we come back, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the national scene of college basketball and all these conference changes. But at any rate, stay with us. You're listening to Who's Talking. We'll be back after these messages with more from Dan Bonner. Stay tuned.